Thanks so much, Mario. What a great morning. Well, you guys are here, excited, ready for an amazing morning. Firstly, want to do one more introduction. We have a visitor from Liberia with us. You might think it's awesome that you got up out of bed and traveled here from wherever you live, but he came all the way to be at youth this morning from Liberia. And I've slept in his airport overnight, never got out the airport in Liberia, but watch this space for the next year. We shall be walking those beautiful shores of Liberia. And so God has brought him to see what we're doing. You were at the World Conference. And so you're our guest. We honor you for what you're doing back in Liberia, Pastor Emmett. But he prefers to be called Emmett. And so give him a round of applause. And we are really excited about this new term. If you look on the board, you will notice something about Baywatch. What now? It looks like it's misspelled. Isn't that supposed to be B-A-Y? B-A-E watch? Watch this space for Friday nights. Our new series coming soon. There's a very beautiful handout that everyone needs to take away. Do me a favor. Show this to your caregiver, your mom, your dad, your guardian, whoever you stay with. Gives them an idea of what's happening. There's our contact number at the bottom. If you don't have enough pocket money, then you just send us a WhatsApp, and we will phone your parents and ask them to raise your pocket money. So that's why Debbie's number and my number's on there. And for any other crises or interventions, that's what it's there for. But you'll notice there's two posters for our Sunday series, not one. Normally, there's one series in the term. We have Genevieve putting together this first series on the Spirit. We're going to be blown away this term. And then Debbie has put together a series on hearing the voice of God. By the end of this term, you will be filled with the Spirit, showing His fruits, being gifted. You will be hearing God's voice and ready to do mighty exploits. How about that for a money-back guarantee? This is going to be an incredible term. Mario's taking the lead on the Baywatch, so you've got to be here for those Friday nights. So what is this series all about? Well, we're going to get to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Secondly, we're going to explore that He comes to bring us fruit, and it's probably singular. There's fruit of the Spirit. There's nine of them, but watch this space for next week. We're then going to learn and receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we're going to explore what it means to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues, to have power to witness. You are going to be transformed and revolutionized. But it brings me to today. Who is the Holy Spirit? Sounds a bit like out there, doesn't it? A spirit? Can I know a spirit? Who's this now? I know the Father. I know Jesus. Well, if you haven't been here last term in the Alpha series on Fridays, you're in for a real treat, because we're going to do this Alpha style this morning. What we didn't do is we didn't do the Alpha weekend, which it includes a session, two sessions, in fact, on the Holy Spirit. So we're bringing Fridays into Sundays for those of you who hasn't been part of a Friday series, because you come on Sundays. Okay? So this is a treat for you. It's new for all of us. But we are going to do it like this, a bit different this morning. You're going to watch a video clip, really short, and then a question's going to come up on the screen. And together with your leader who's around the table, they're going to facilitate interaction. So the learning is going to happen on the screen. The two guys are Canadians. They're going to talk us through it and do some creative stuff. And then you're going to interact. And so we go. So are you ready for this? Because I am. I'm pumped up for this. Anytime you speak about God coming and invading our lives, that's a good day. Okay? So here we go.
Some people are the best at giving gifts. Ben and I, on the other hand, we're not very good. Look at this sweater he got me. It's like 10 sizes too big. My problem, I can't keep a secret. Last Christmas, I got Rach a kitchen mixer. She really wanted it for a long time, and I was so excited to give it to her that 2 weeks before Christmas, we're just driving, and I couldn't hold anymore, so I blurted it out. I said, Rach, I got you that kitchen mixer, okay? Hey, Dallas, it's a lightsaber.
My problem is, I just don't know what to get people. One year for Christmas, I got my sister a present that was meant to be a joke. The thing about my sister is, when she laughs really, really hard, she pees her pants. So I thought it'd be a really funny idea to get her some adult diapers. The thing about adult diapers is, they cost a lot of money. So by the time I paid for them, I didn't have any money left to buy her anything else. And that's all she got. Some people are really good at giving gifts. Jason and I are not those people. He got me this sweater. God is the best at giving gifts. He knows our deepest heart's desires, and He knows exactly what to give us. We're going to devote the next two sessions to talk about the gift that God gives His people, the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God at work on earth.
I love the way the Bible describes the Holy Spirit. Comforter, helper, advocate, the Spirit of wisdom, our guide, teacher, the gift of God, and the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been working on earth since the day of creation. He's God present at the beginning and God present with us now.
You know, He's not an impersonal force or an it. He's a person. He has a personality. And like a person, He can be grieved or even excited.
So far in Alpha, we've used a few different names when we're talking about God. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The church has come to call the three persons of God the Trinity.
My friend Chris Price described it like this. There's one God who exists eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One divine essence, three distinct persons. The teaching of the Trinity is a mystery that goes beyond reason without opposing it. Many people have difficulty understanding this, and here's one possible reason why. You and I live in a three-dimensional world, four dimensions if you include time. For the purpose of this analogy, let us imagine we lived in a two-dimensional world, like the old Mario world. There's only up and down and side to side.
One day, an odd visitor arrived in Flatland. He claimed to be from a strange four-dimensional world far beyond the flat hills and far beyond the flat sun. He began to speak about cubes. The citizens of Flatland scratched their heads in befuddlement. What's a cube? Our four-dimensional friend replied, a cube is a square made up of six squares. Blank stares covered every flat face.
The philosophers of Flatland called a symposium. After much heated discussion, the wisest in the land concluded such an idea was ridiculous. What, after all, could it mean to say a cube is one square with six squares? How is that possible?
Explaining the Trinity to us is like trying to communicate a cube to the folks in Flatland. God isn't restricted to our dimension and doesn't experience the limitations we do. The Bible helps us to understand the mystery of God, the Trinity. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Can you imagine how awesome it would be to have Jesus by your side? If you're eating with friends and you run out of food, boom, Jesus multiplies the last pizza. You want to travel somewhere? Bam, you're there in an instant.
Yeah, and if you forgot your life jacket, you could just walk on water.
Walk on it.
But seriously, imagine what it'd be like to visit a sick friend in the hospital with Jesus right beside you. Or if you're feeling lost or scared, how comforting it would be to have Him by your side. Jesus' friends and followers would have felt this even more than we do. They loved having Jesus around. That's why it was such a shock to the disciples when He pulled them aside one day and told them that He was going to be leaving soon. This is what He said. In fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I do go away, then I'll send Him to you.
This would have been crazy for the disciples to hear. It's better for you to go? How could that possibly be better? But Jesus, in His wisdom, thought it was better for us to have the Holy Spirit with us. Again, Jesus said this, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So the disciples waited in the city.
Acts chapter 2 describes what happened. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers.
Now, this wasn't the first time that the Holy Spirit has shown up. He's been at work since the day of creation, giving life to man. Before this historic day, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people, but it was just that, certain people at certain times for certain tasks.
The Old Testament describes a bunch of different moments when this happened. The Holy Spirit came on two men, Gideon and Samson, at different times and gave them courage and strength to lead God's people into battle.
God's Holy Spirit filled another man named Bezalel for special tasks like art, craftsmanship, and carpentry. In Exodus 35:31, it says, the Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God,
giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts.
God filled a man named Isaiah with the spirit of prophecy to speak the very words of God to his people. Everything changed on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit didn't just come on a few people for a limited time, but he filled everyone and he made a permanent home in their hearts. After the Spirit filled the believers, people in the streets began to wonder what was going on. People from all over the place heard the disciples speaking in more than a dozen different languages about the goodness of God.
Some of the people there were amazed and wondered, what could this mean? While other people in the crowd thought they were drunk. The story continues in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and visitors of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." When the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost, this changed everything. God was fulfilling his promise to pour out his spirit on all people who believed.
A while ago, I went out for lunch with a friend of mine named Tyler. And as we ate, he told me about how the Holy Spirit had been changing his life. And growing up, he had all sorts of different problems in his home and family, and it left him with a lot of hurt and anger. He got so bad at one point that he didn't want to live anymore. His fear and pain on the inside showed itself as hate and anger on the outside. But this is what he told me that day. "There was a day when everything turned around for me. That was the day when I chose to be baptized. There was no instant change, but over time I noticed I was less and less angry and depressed. Those terrible feelings were finally starting to leave. Eventually, I began to have this incredible joy and peace inside of me. I began to experience God firsthand in my life, and he brought me so much happiness." Tyler's a pretty strong guy. He's a black belt in judo, but as we were sitting there, his eyes filled with tears as he told me that he was happier than he'd ever been. He explained that he felt like he couldn't contain how much joy he felt. The Holy Spirit had so filled his heart and mind that he felt overwhelmed with God's love and goodness. It's not that his life is problem-free, but his experience of God touched everything in his mind and heart. This is such a great example of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He fills our hearts with God's love.
Some people are the best at giving gifts. Ben and I, on the other hand, we're not very good. Look at this sweater he got me. It's like 10 sizes too big. My problem, I can't keep a secret. Last Christmas, I got Rach a kitchen mixer. She really wanted it for a long time, and I was so excited to give it to her that 2 weeks before Christmas, we're just driving, and I couldn't hold anymore, so I blurted it out. I said, "Rach, I got you that kitchen mixer, okay? Hey, Dallas, it's a lightsaber."
My problem is, I just don't know what to get people. One year for Christmas, I got my sister a present that was meant to be a joke. The thing about my sister is, when she laughs really, really hard, she pees her pants. So I thought it'd be a really funny idea to get her some adult diapers. The thing about adult diapers is, they cost a lot of money. So by the time I paid for them, I didn't have any money left to buy her anything else. And that's all she got. Some people are really good at giving gifts. Jason and I are not those people. He got me this sweater. God is the best at giving gifts. He knows our deepest heart's desires, and he knows exactly what to give us. We're going to devote the next 2 sessions to talk about the gift that God gives his people, the Holy Spirit.
God gives powerful, supernatural gifts to the church through the Holy Spirit. And he gives it for the sake of the whole church. It's not about somebody doing crazy things to show off. It's about God doing incredible things through ordinary people.
We live in a unique time in history, the age of the Holy Spirit. He's at work in the world today in a way that was never known before the day of Pentecost. Galatians 3:14 says that this is the reason God blessed us through Jesus, that we would receive the promised Holy Spirit. Men and women from every country and culture and economic background are invited to be filled with God's Spirit.
On the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and explained to the gathered crowd that this was the promised outpouring of God's Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's us. God's promise of his Holy Spirit is for you and for me. Ezekiel 36:26 says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great gift of your Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift to know we're loved, to have power to become more like you, and to see your power work through us as we love others. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we would never be the same? I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You ready for this adventure? I want to call you to respond to a challenge to open yourself up to what God wants to do in the next 3 weeks. Okay? A sense that if we don't say, God, here I am, I'm open, then we'll just carry on the same that we always were. But I believe that this series is going to change and impact us like never before. So I'm going to ask you to stand for prayer, that you would be committing yourself by standing to saying, Lord, I want to find out more about you. I want to have you work in me like I've never seen work before. I want to be used by you like you've never used me before. And I want to be so filled by you that I'm literally overflowing and I'm like a dam that's bursting its walls. Anyone up for that? Stand with me and let's wrap up with a word of prayer this morning. Pastor Emmett, would you come and pray for us? Would you pray that God will, in this next few weeks, in your absence, do something really powerful in our midst as we trust God to work in our community and our congregation?
Amen. I just want to share something small before I pray, just to encourage you. At the table there, I was telling the others that my first year in college, I got saved, and then I made it a habit of witnessing every Wednesday. And on this particular Wednesday, I went out to witness, came back, and I had exams, started the next day, and I was tired around about 3 in the afternoon. And I wanted to be up by 4 to start to study, because good grades matter when you witness. And so I prayed and said, Holy Spirit, will you wake me up at 4? And I went to sleep at 3. And at 4, someone tapped me on the back of my head. And I woke up and looked at the time, and it was 4 o'clock on the dot. And I have a bigger brother that should be at home, so I searched the house to find out whether he was the one. There was no one at home. So it had to be the Holy Spirit that tapped my head, the back of my head, and woke me up at 4. He's real. Amen. He's real. And I was telling them that I've had a lot of experiences with the Holy Spirit before becoming a pastor. So it's not because I'm a pastor. That's why the experience is there. In fact, I've had more great experiences with the Holy Spirit before becoming a pastor. I've seen the power and the grace of God as a youth. You know, I want to be a youth again so I can make sure. Okay, so let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because you loved us enough, not only to die on the cross, but to send us the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, is our teacher. He's the one that gives us the strength and the joy and the passion and empowers us to do what you have commanded us to do, O God, in your word. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we go through this time and through this series, O God, Father, we pray that you will open up the hearts of all of us, of your children that are gathered here. Open up our hearts, O God. Make us to know that you are not just looking for us to be perfect first before you fill us, O God, but you want us to be available. And then you will fill us and work in us and perfect us day by day. So we pray that no one here will hold back and say, look at my life. Can the Holy Spirit come and fill me? Make them to have faith and know that you love them so much. You want to fill them. You want to and fill every part of their lives to the overflowing, oh God, that they will look beyond their infirmities and look to you, the all and sufficient God, and open up their heart to God. Speak to each and every one of them, oh God. Day by day, visit them and manifest yourself in diverse manners, oh God, and make them to know that you love them. We worship you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. And at the end of this time, oh God, may there be many testimonies, oh God. May all these children be filled, oh God. These young people be filled with your Spirit, oh God. That they will go and make disciples. That they will go and manifest your glory, manifest your power, be lights in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Well, next week is going to be amazing. There's a tree growing inside of you. Bring your body next week, and then you'll find out all about the tree growing inside of you with fruit. So God bless. Have a fantastic week.